Happy St. Luke's Day. Most of you have been coming here long enough to know that yesterday, October 18th, was the feast of St. Luke, our patron saint. Many of you also know, because I say it every year, that my very first Sunday here was St. Luke's Day 2017. So today I celebrate 8 years of falling in love with you. Finally, October 18th is our wedding anniversary. And William and I have been married for 17 years. So it's a special day. Anyway, I think so. And it's a real privilege to be here with you for another year. What most of you seem to have forgotten, however, is that each St. Luke's Day, I like to recite my epic poem about St. Luke. It's a masterpiece, still in progress, which I started at the first of my 3 St. Luke's parishes where I've served, in San Francisco, continued at St. Luke's Long Beach, and hopefully will finish here someday. Last year probably is what you were hoping, but no. Now, I say you've forgotten about this because I'm sure you would have stayed home had you remembered. And so, without further ado, my epic poem in its entirety thus far, consisting of 19 verses. St. Luke, St. Luke, he ain't no fluke, nor is he a religious kook. But he is the evangelizing duke, and he wrote my favorite gospel book. Now it may come to you as shock that Luke, he was a medical doc who also wrote in Greek a lot. So don't go saying he's a crock. In fact, 25% is what he wrote of the New Testament, all while companionship to Paul he lent. So how about that, lady and gent? You know he wrote the book of Acts in his spare time when he was feeling relaxed, with stories of post-resurrection facts, missionary journeys, miracles, healings, church growth, it nothing lacks. They say Luke was a great physician. To counter that claim, I am in no position. But he truly excelled as an evangelician. Because looking at you here today, I see his words have come to fruition. He wrote The Good Samaritan, about a guy who found another wounded and took him to the nearest Sheraton. He was left in good hands with the man who worked at the inn. Because he was hurt bad. It wasn't allergies. He didn't need no Claritin. But Luke wanted us a good lesson to learn. It's not always priests and Levites to whom you should turn. It might be the stranger against whom your heart burns, who is your true neighbor. So take care not to spurn. He also wrote The Prodigal Son, who took his inheritance early without compunction, spend it carousing and reveling, which sounds kind of fun, then lost it all and his glory days were done. He worked in a pigsty and helped grow the crop till he thought, if I worked for Dad, I'd eat better than slop. And so he returned, though he felt like a flop. When on the road home, he looked up and cried, Pop! For his father had met him more than halfway, blessed and embraced him, said, I've longed for this day when you would come back. Oh, to God I did pray, and now you've returned, so let's eat and partay. Now, leaving out the bit about the mad older son, what Luke says is, no matter what you have done, God's always ready for reconciliation. So return, and God will meet you with a plate full of fatted calf and a barbecue pork bun. So, you know, we can't leave out the Annunciation. Gabe the angel gave Mary a standing ovation. Hail Mary, in your belly's gonna be a creation. You just gotta say yes to a mystical penetration. Say what, Mary said? Not without consternation? So I'm gonna get Prager's without pain or frustration? Sign me up. Gabe said, well, there'll be preoccupation when he's all grown up. There'll be tears and elation. The truth of this strange visit Mary inferred, be it unto me according to thy word. Though the price of diapers these days is absurd. Then a flash, and the Holy Spirit came as a bird. You know that 10 lepers by Jesus was healed. Those are people with scabs, sores, and blisters all peeled, whom society cast out and kept them concealed in caves, deserts, wastelands, their fate all but sealed. Until they met Jesus and cried, we're the least, but we want to get better and rejoin the feast. Jesus said, go and show yourself to the high priest. And as they were walking, their leprosy ceased. They cried and rejoiced. They high-fived and said, wow, we can hang with our old friends and date women now. But only one stopped and went back, furrowed brow. I gotta thank Jesus, but I just don't know how. So he ran up and fell down before Jesus' feet. He was a Samaritan, whom some think are cheats. Thank you, sir. What a great thing that we got to meet. I am healed and no longer feel my defeat. And the other nine, where did they go? Jesus asked. Did I not cure them of their leprosy wax? My son, for your gratitude, you can relax. But those others sure acted like stinky poo sacks. Thank you very much. I can tell by the look on your faces how profoundly you've been affected by this work. One belief about St. Luke is that he was a physician in his day job. That's why our first reading from Sirach spoke poetically of that profession. In my 15 years of priesthood, I have sometimes felt more like doctor than preacher or liturgist. So many of us come through those church doors seeking healing or comfort for our souls. And so I've tried to be that conduit of God's healing and to hopefully offer an example, if any of you even need it, of how we are all called to be healers of one another and to ask for comfort when we need it from those around us. Earlier this year, our bishop restarted a monthly Zoom meeting with all the clergy of the diocese, a practice she had begun in the first weeks of COVID in 2020. At our meeting a few weeks ago, she reintroduced this chart from back then called Phases of Collective Trauma Response. Kind of like the charts you see with the stock market prices with the craggy mountains and valleys. Well, in 2020, the collective trauma was the pandemic. Bringing it up a few weeks ago implicitly stated that we are going through another collective trauma in our nation. One word on that chart from an early phase of trauma response was heroic. And the line on the chart was a mountaintop, an emotional high. We respond to disasters initially with courage. Then some words in the middle phase where the line became a trough were grief and disillusionment. Finally, on the right side of the chart, a later phase of trauma response was the word reconstruction. So heroic, grief and disillusionment and reconstruction. What this chart made me realize, whether about myself or about St. Luke's in general, is this. I've been expending so much energy up here in the pulpit these past few months trying to be heroic for us, to call out our government's cruelties over these past 9 months like some Old Testament prophet railing from a mountaintop. All good. And our other preachers here have been doing the same. But I'm feeling a shift in my heart lately towards something I haven't been addressing so much, and that is our collective grief. That our democracy could have so quickly devolved into the fear, hatred, and thuggery we have seen these past 9 months is shocking. And the grief, anxiety, and disillusionment we have experienced is exhausting. As the words that I saw posted on an overpass along Highway 85 South yesterday insisted, this is not normal. And I bring this up today, this grieving I believe we're going through on St. Luke's Day, because I think it's important to acknowledge that for all our fierceness and outrage, and despite the millions who protested across the nation yesterday, there remains this pain in need of healing. And like our patron saint, we are called to be physicians, healing agents for each other's hearts. I was thinking about grief as my subject for the sermon last week because I was in the middle of a pretty intense few days of pastoral care. I met with a number of people, one suffering from Alzheimer's and dealing with balance and vision and recall problems, one who is unemployed and feeling shame about it, another still living with the devastating consequences of something done 30 years ago. And then on Thursday afternoon, I had back-to-back talks with two persons, the first planning her own funeral and wanting very much to die soon, and the next one having lost his wife of many years. Earlier that same morning, I got texts about two people, both sick for a while, who had died that same night. Now, those aren't your stories per se, but I know that many of you also carry the weight of worry for a loved one, or pain at some loss you've experienced, or concerns about your own health. Compound that with the grief so many of us feel at the state of our nation, at the state of our world. And I think it's safe to say that we are in that trough of trauma response, disillusioned, and heartbroken. And so my simple message for you today is, remember to take care of yourself. And remember to be good to each other. Take a cue from our dear patron, St. Luke, and offer whenever you can comfort and love when you see someone struggling. I already hear stories of you reaching out to one another in friendship and support. That's what St. Luke's is for, community committed to love. I believe that's why we're seeing more visitors coming through our doors these days, seeking comfort and a place to be held by God. Each of us is the embrace of God, waiting for a grieving soul to step into. So keep embracing, or don't be afraid to start. And be sure to ask for your own embrace when you need it. That is how we manifest God's love in the world. I leave you with two stories and a quote. Driving down from San Mateo to Los Gatos yesterday afternoon, I deliberately turned onto El Camino Real so that I could do a honk by in solidarity with the protesters I knew would be marching from Hillsdale Mall to Central Park, 2 miles. Well, I have to tell you, not only had the first of them just reached the spot where I made my turn, but they continued on both sidewalks of the street for for 1.5 miles. Everyone was cheering, waving signs, and I kept honking with joy as I drove. At one point, I had to stop for a light, and a young woman with purple hair saw my collar, waved, and made the sign of the cross on herself, then gave me a thumbs up. I finally had to turn to get onto the Highway 92 ramp, and they were still coming north. My chest felt so full that I started to cry. Mexicans do that. I started to cry, letting out some of the grief and letting in some of the joy. This is also how we heal, by finding the good in others, rejecting the fear and isolation our government wants us to feel, and connecting in joy and love and caring. Remember that there are millions and millions of good people out there on both sides of the political fence who love this country and will fight to save our democracy. Now, I am not so Pollyanna-ish as to think that the struggle is over by any means. It will be a long time before we get to that final word on the bishop's chart, Reconstruction. But I, for one, needed that shot in the arm yesterday afternoon, that healing injection of hope. When I got to my office yesterday afternoon, I saw a small yellow post-it lying outside my office door, sticky side up, all covered with dirt. Now, I have to admit, I see all kinds of detritus in the courtyard every week, and usually I don't feel like cleaning it up. That was the case here. But after I walked over it the third time, I thought, don't be so lazy. Pick it up and toss it. So I did. With my middle-aged back, I bent down. When I turned it over, I recognized the writing on the post-it as mine. It was a single word, Jesus. I knew it right away. It was from one of the binders we use on Good Friday when we read the Passion Gospel and assign parts to different, you know, positions. And it had somehow, I have no idea how that post-it got to the courtyard, because all those binders are stored away on a shelf in my office. But there was a post-it in front of my door turned upside down that when I picked it up and turned it around, it said Jesus. So I took the sign. We are not alone. Remember Jesus. He walks with us, marches with us, grieves with us, rejoices with us. Let us never forget that. Finally, a quote from a song lyric, which itself is taken from the American spiritual guru Ram Dass. When I administered last rites in a hospital NICU a few months ago to Avery Wu, the 6-month-old baby who died, you may recall from previous sermons, I began by saying these same words I'm going to tell you to the family gathered around her bed. I said, "We all come from God, and to God we will return. While we're here, our purpose is to walk each other home." And I went on to say that we were gathered together that morning to walk baby Avery home. And that's what we're here to do for each other. While we're here, our purpose is to walk each other home. We are in this together, my friends, and I love each and every one of you. Love each other too, and let yourself be loved. Be brave when you need to be. Defend those who cannot fight for themselves. And don't let the grief overwhelm you, at least not permanently. Be the physician this world needs. happy St. Luke's Day.